symposium discussions, and as always, many surprises. Get your tickets and passes now at popmontreal.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. I will be one of the greatest, that is a vow, yeah, that is a promise. Always wanted to be famous, just being real, yeah, just being honest. My haters won't always be nameless, give them no clout, I give them no power. Creators built different than ancient, sooner than later, all will be ours. I keep an eye out for the numbers, I stay in contact, synchronization. To infinity, even beyond it, I am a common, no destination. A lot of things I am above, and there are a lot of things that are above me. Do not come for the people I love, cause then I get scary, then I get uglier. Ain't no problem when I'm the equation. Presence, loaded, observation. I'm not new here, reborn creation. Come and find me.
I don't usually do this, but
Oh my God.
Can I sing to you? Yeah.
Yours, mine, ours. I could do this for hours. Sit and talk to you for hours. I wanna give you your flowers and some champagne showers. All the shrimp and lobster towers. But it's me that gets devoured. Ooh, when you do what you do, I'm empowered. You give me a superpower. Together the world could be ours. You sit me up on the counter. Instantly it's thunder showers. Storming for a couple hours. When we finish, take a shower. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and
hours. Long live the king, you know it. King already, already, you know it. Top everything, everything, you know it. King already, already, you know it. My body so got a king body. Body gon' shine, bling, bling body. Calling all the shots, ring, ring body. Crown on your head, got a king body. Don't live a king, you a king, you know it. King already, my baby, you know it. Top everything, everything, you know it. King already, already, you know it. Shine already, it's time already. A line already, it's time already. It's time already, the line already, it's time already.
Try to stop it, Mr. No, no, no.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is a versatile singer-songwriter with a comprehensive background in performance, and is currently the lead singer of Chanda and the Passengers. Who knew that Craigslist would aid in the birth of one of the funkiest bands from up north? That's right. Chanda and the Passengers was created via a call to arms in the name of a funk by guitarist Xander Masser. Seven musicians with different backgrounds and styles, but with the same passion for music, came together one glorious night in a Montreal apartment in 2017. Though funk brought them together, they refused to be pigeonholed. Their music, all written and composed by the group, seamlessly moves from R&B to blues to jazz to Latin influences with a beautiful cohesiveness. Chanda and the Passengers' live performances are electrifying. The lead singer's high energy, soulful voice, and charm hark from an era that brought us our beloved performers for a modern era. As one fan put it, "I need this. It's healing. Your shows are healing." They have performed on many stages throughout Montreal. They wowed audiences of the 2019 Festival Nuit d'Afrique. In 2018, they released their two single debuts, Medicinal Love, which contained the songs Medicinal Mama and Your Love Tonight, received with great reception. Since the release, they have spent the time honing their craft and will be releasing their debut album in 2020. Chanda T. Holmes is representing Chanda and the Passengers. Chanda, welcome back to Soul Peace.
That's true.
Because this is not your first time.
No, it's not.
We did have you guys back in 2018 when you released when you released the two singles.
Yes.
How are you doing, madam?
It's all pretty good. I'm doing, you know, escaping this pandemic life, just trying to live and remember what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like before pandemic.
Pre-pandemic. Yeah. Like, I've been coming up with different acronyms. Be like, pre-pandemic era, PPE, post, P-O-P-E, Pope. Oh, my God. Pope. Well, no, it's pre-COVID era and post-COVID era.
Okay.
Yeah.
PCE, O-P-P. Other people's pandemic?
Maybe not. Excuse me. So how has these past 2 years been for you?
It kind of feels like I'm kind of like in quicksand a little bit. Wow. Because you can't move, but you're not moving in the direction that you want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Ever so slowly, like you feel like you're being dragged from that. So it was definitely a challenging time for me and for the band as well. Even just trying to get together, create music, it did become a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone's going through it and trying to deal with the pandemic in their own way. For myself personally, I got into hip hop step aerobics.
Okay. Okay.
Keep me sane and kind of feel my creativity, and we, you know, found other ways in order to connect as a band, which was great, but it was definitely challenging, and I missed the stage. Like, I truly missed performing.
Yeah. And having that kind of stifling feeling of not being able to create and stuff, how did that affect you artistically?
Definitely some writer's block at certain points, because, you know, I'm not living life. I'm so used to being out on the road or just being out every day.
Yeah.
And that's where I find my creativity. I think I write most of my songs in the metro. So thanks, STM.
Right.
So not being able to do that working from home, it did kind of stifle my creativity. So I had to find other ways to, you know, live and be creative and really pay attention to, you know, my surroundings when I would take my walks. That's a pivot.
Yeah. And there have been a lot of people who have came out about their mental health and stuff like that. Was that a factor at all for you, or you were able to maintain balance?
Oh, I definitely struggled with balance, but I guess luckily, I'd say about 5 years ago, I had a breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Luckily.
So, you know why I say luckily? Because I think that, you know, because I already experienced that,
mm-hmm.
I could tell the telltale signs that, ooh, I'm slowly heading there. So we got to make those changes right away so we don't get back there. So I'm glad, not that, you know, no, I don't want anyone to experience a breakdown and no one should.
Right.
Not easy. However, doing it and not being in a pandemic, you know, those two things, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So I was able to tell those signs and be able to be like, all right, we got to pivot, we got to switch, we got to do something.
Okay. What were some of the signs that you noticed, and how did you switch? How did you pivot? Like, what was your,
what was your process in terms of like, okay, acknowledging something's coming, and then switching?
And, you know, the taking longer to get out of bed, the just not caring about certain things as much, just letting certain things go, whether it be, you know, not sweeping up or vacuuming as much, to see those little changes. I realized, you know, I didn't notice, wow, look how blue the sky is right now with less cars on the road. Like, there were certain things that I would always pay attention to that I was missing. I was missing the buds. I know this sounds kind of whatever, but I love spring and watching like the buds and stuff on the trees. And I love watching that progression. And I was not looking at that or paying attention to that. So I had to pivot. So I started taking long walks, long walks, and paying attention to my surroundings and just trying to notice little things and taking that same path, but try to notice different things while on that path.
Okay. So basically kind of, what you felt was like there was a closing of your blinders, and like you almost got a sort of tunnel vision, and you weren't appreciating, you weren't appreciating the things that you used to appreciate, and you weren't like you said, you're not vacuuming as much, you're not taking care of your home and yourself as much as you used to. That's excellent, because sometimes, a lot of times, you don't notice. Like it's those little. It's a little tiny thing. It's like, okay, I don't really feel like going out today. But then tomorrow comes and you don't feel like going out tomorrow. And then the next day comes. The next thing you know, you've been in your house for a month, ordering Uber Eats every 2 days or every day. And, you know, you don't have, like, your cupboards. It's old Mother Hubbard situation. The cupboards are bare, you know? So, yeah, It's been a very interesting time, because I try and look at the silver lining in the cloud of this kind of COVID-19 era. And what I've found is that there are a lot of people that, yes, they had breakdowns, they had depression, they had all of this darkness in the beginning. But now, as I'm interviewing more and more people and speaking to more and more people, they were able to, okay, they had their moment, and then they were able to, all right, time to get out of this. Let's get creative. There's an artist based in Calgary who didn't even let the pandemic affect them. They just started, as soon as the pandemic went online, they were like, okay, everybody's doing open mics online, jumped on open mics, and their career has skyrocketed in the last two years. Like, they started maybe a year before the pandemic, and their career just took off. And I found that there's some people, I don't know if it was people in the music industry or where I heard this, but some people started saying that everybody's on the same level right now.
Right.
Whether you're Beyonce or Jay-Z, or whether you're like the hardworking musician in their in their thing, like everybody's on the same level, because you got to just work and put out your stuff in the same exact way. You know, put it out on Spotify, put it out on YouTube and stuff like that. So, So, at what point did you and the band start getting together and actually start working on music again?
We started getting back together last summer.
Okay.
In person. Online, we were, you know, kind of just doing a lot of pre-production online. And was a great way to, you know, test certain things out. But we finally got together last summer, and it was just like, oh, my God.
I can see your face. Oh, I can touch your hand.
I can touch you, but no, we can't, because we still got to stay, you know, 2 minutes apart.
Social distancing.
So we started last summer, and the great part before the pandemic, you know, we were doing a lot of shows, so it was a great way for us to test certain songs that we've created and see, you know, what we should actually record from that. So when we, you know, getting back together, being able to rehearse that, we were able to figure out which songs we were going to record for this EP.
Yeah.
That felt good.
One thing, I've known you for 20 years, 21 years now. And so I can speak to a little bit of what I know about you. It's like, you've been in this band for the last 5-6 years.
Yes.
But before that, you were into stepping, and you were into dancing. You danced with Liam McFly's group for Chocolate Jungle and other things. And of course, you were always singing. How did you come to art? Like, how did you come to artistic expression?
From a kid. So as a kid, I went to the Malcolm X day camp. Big up LaSalle. And one of the one thing that we always like to do is listen to music. So I would, you know, sing along and stuff. And someone noticed that I can actually sing. So sometimes they would have me sing along to the songs that were playing. So like when Karen White would come out, and I would sneak out my mom's cassette tape, play it at camp. You know, I would sing along, and then we would have a show, an end of year show. And one of the counselors, Heather, asked if I wanted to sing a song, and she helped me sing One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston. That was my first ever performance.
Wow.
I loved it from there. Like as a child, you know, growing up as an only child, because, well, I do have, you know, siblings, but I grew up with my mom alone, and I would always sing. I would always have like my comb in my hand or my brush, playing music and singing. Music was a very, very big part of my life. My mom would always be playing music. So I always sing along. Loved it. And I think from that moment when I did One Moment in Time, I knew then that I didn't want to not do this. I was like, I like this.
Did you ever study music, or did you ever take classes?
I didn't take classes. I did. I was in choir, in my church choir. And when I switched churches, I was in that choir as well. So that's you know, I'm self-taught.
For the most part.
And self-taught, and just, you know, would kind of learn by doing. And by trying.
Yeah, you gotta
stumbling.
Just... What?
And stumbling.
Well, you know, it's like a baby, you know, you got to crawl before you can walk, and then you walk before you can run. So, you know, if you skip the steps, you'll definitely stumble, for sure.
Definitely.
We are going to take a break.
Cool.
If you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Chanda T. Holmes of Chanda and the Passengers. And we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Forget what you've been told. Don't be mistaken, it's time to show up and be bold. So channel what you've been through. Tell a story that matters to you. Take a peek into your mind. Let your spirit be the guide to find your way back home. You need to learn to let go. Remember, you're born free from the victim mentality. So they can call you crazy, they can call you blind. And you could be afraid, yeah, it's alright. But push through, baby, push through. And stay true, baby, stay true. Hypnotized.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Chanda T. Holmes of Chanda and the Passengers.
Yeah.
She brings her vocals to the band. She's the lead singer of the band. Brings jazz-tinged, heavily raw, soulful voice that drives the band's sound, lights up the audiences with her energetic stage presence. Like I said before the break, I've known her for 20-some-odd years now.
Yeah.
And we met on blackplanet.com.
Yep.
The original place for black people to meet.
Right?
It was probably the only online place for black people to meet at the time. And what? Then we were talking about this offline a while back, but the first memory that I have of you is we were in the West Island.
Mm-hmm.
There was a performance going on there. I was invited to do poetry, and Boots actually was there, and it was the first time that I saw Boots perform.
Right.
And I saw you, and I kind of shyly came up to you, and I was like, hey, I'm Kimo Domingo from thing, and you kind of were like, oh, hey, what's up? And then our friendship just sparked from there, because I later on joined Boots for some reason. I don't know why. I was allowed onto Boots. But
the artistic expression.
Right. Blink, blink. But yes, you got into stepping. So you, like you said before the break, you were very much into singing. It was a passion of yours that was fostered from very young. But then you got into stepping.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about stepping that attracted you?
I love to perform. So it's like, whatever I can do to, I guess, get on a stage, and I didn't know what steps you're supposed to do to get there. Stepping, I love it because I think I'm a drummer at heart. I don't play drums. I will, though. But I'm a drummer at heart. I love percussion. I love... it's the heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
And that's so important. It's the foundation. And so being able to make music, which I love, on my own and not having to, I guess, grab or take an instrument, I am really fully the instrument. Voice, hand, body, everything. I thought that was the coolest thing. And I remember the first time watching it on that movie School Days.
Yep.
One of my favorite movies. I saw it there and I was like, I want to do that. That looks cool. I learned every single routine they did in that movie. I had a friend of my first choir director, Donna, she's from the state. She had videos of stepping, learned all of those too. That's what I loved about it. And then when Colleen, who went to high school, she was an older grade than me,
mm-hmm.
let us know that they were starting a junior step team. I was like, I'm all in.
Okay.
All in.
And what was the process like to get into the team?
The team? So at first, we're in my high school. We didn't audition. We kind of just started up together. But to join Boots, I had to audition.
Right.
And I had to do the routine. People, and I had to
before we get into that.
Yes.
What's Boots?
Boots INC, Intelligence Never Ceases, is a we're still out there, an amazing step group. We were heavy in Montreal in the 90s, the 90s and the early 2000s. Any show done by any black community, we were there. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, making music with your hands and your feet. We were the percussion. We sang, we danced, we did it all. And it was an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing experience of sisterhood, of community, of love, of brotherhood. Chris Bennett is the brother that I did not ask for. But I love till this day.
I love that. You know, most people are like, the brother that I always wanted. You're like, the brother I didn't ask for.
I didn't ask for him.
Nope.
But I'm grateful that he, came into my life and continued to, because he's also one of the people that, you know, saw my talent and tried to do everything that he could to make sure that I had those opportunities to express and hone that talent. He actually bought me my first microphone.
Wow.
That I still have.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, audition to get into Boots.
Yes. So to audition to get into Boots, you have to learn a routine and you have to get 80%. I don't know how he decided what was 80, 60, 50.
Right.
But I got 100.
Okay. Okay.
And I made one mistake. And that's how I joined Boots. And it was so nerve-wracking. I was so nervous because anyone that knows Chris Bennett knows him as a jokester. But I didn't know that at first. And when he has a serious face,
yeah,
it's really serious.
Yeah.
So I was scared, like, I better not mess up. I got to get this right. I practiced all the time, I think, to the point where my mom was just annoyed as all heck. But I got on. And, yeah, I was in it for like a decade.
Mm. And so what you said that you were, you guys were in almost all the black based shows.
Correct.
What did you guys travel? Did you guys go anywhere else? Because stepping in Canada is not as big. Like
Right. People
who see it, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But if you go to the States and you go to especially HBCUs, historically Yes. Black colleges and universities,
Right. Stepping
is like there's like 10 different sororities and fraternities Right. On campus. And each one of them has their own, you know, Alpha Phi Alpha, Alpha Kappa Alpha, Beta Yes. Phi, Theta Theta Theta, you know, et cetera. And they're deep into it. And there's a lot of competitions and stuff like that. Have you guys traveled and had you guys traveled and then things like that?
We traveled. Well, we traveled to Quebec City or near Quebec City. We traveled to Toronto for a couple of competitions. Chris also hosted his own competitions as well in Montreal, which I still remember the name. Maybe I'll figure it out. But in Montreal, I mean, in the 90s, stepping was fairly big. Although Boots INC, we had... We were a squad, a family to deal with.
Right.
But you also had, you know, you had Dawson. There was other step teams in Montreal as well.
Yeah.
Who also, you know, made many strides as well. There was one step team who was actually on YTV back in the day for one of their shows, which is great. So it was definitely big for us. It was big in Montreal, Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I find that nowadays there aren't as many step teams that, or maybe I'm just not in the black community as much, but I don't find that stepping there used to be Stepping Over Wickedness back in the day. I believe it was Steven that was part of that group.
Yeah.
And I just don't see stepping very much nowadays. Can you speak to kind of like the dissipation of it? Is it that what could have happened?
Well, a couple of things. I think, you know, you get older and you start to experience, you know, different things. You don't necessarily see it as something, not, I guess, viable, but you experience different things. So you kind of move on from it. You know, partially, although we were out there in the community, I know for myself, I could have done a better job of making sure to, what Chris did, you know, getting that younger generation in and foster that. Kind of did a bit of that with the dance school 8 count.
Right.
I also think that things come in waves. So at that time, urban dance was starting to get bigger and bigger and more out there in the scene, especially with those dance movies that came out in the 2000s. So I think also that people shifted more towards different dance styles, whether it's, you know, hip hop, locking, popping, breaking, whacking. I think, and house, people more shifted to that. And I was actually part of that shift because I also started doing house, became a house dancer as well.
Yep.
So I think everything comes in waves, you know? But I think what Kane is doing with his group with the Montreal Steppers is amazing. And they have been so open to us and wanting our feedback and really fostering that relationship. So that way is going to come back.
Right, right. Yeah, because when they had approached... They had approached us in 2020 to do an interview, or I approached them. I was like, "What? There's a Montreal step team again?" I was like, "Well, hold on a second."
Yeah.
You know, I kind of was disoriented because I had been out of Boots for a while, but then I also just noticed that nothing was really going on stepwise.
Right.
So it was really, really exciting to see the Montreal Steppers.
Super exciting.
You know, and when I went to their first concert, right, performance, sometimes I feel like it is a concert.
It's not just a performance.
They sing, they step, they do everything, they do poetry as well. It was a whole experience that I literally had goosebumps, you know, being back in that kind of, that environment. So it was amazing. It was amazing. So you said you transitioned from stepping and you got into house dance.
Yeah.
And tell us a bit more about house. Like, it's to me, it's always been one of those very unusual musical genres that has it loops a lot, and you know, out of house dance, I think dubstep came right after that, or came within the same. What is house music?
I mean, house is the child of disco.
Okay.
You know, especially when people are more getting into electronic music. House is a child of disco, but for me, house is love. House is life. It is one of the most inclusive genres ever, where it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter what you do, where you're from. It is a culmination of all types. You have jazz, you have house that's more focused on jazz. You have Latin, you have gospel, you have more hard house. It's beautiful. It is love. It is life. And when you go to a spot where house is playing, that love, that pure joy that you used to experience maybe as a child, that comes out when you're at a place where that DJ is really taking you for that ride.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about house music. It's freedom.
Freedom. I like that.
Yeah. House is freedom.
Because one of the things that I notice about house is you better have energy. Like, you can't go to a house, like, you better have slept a good 3 hours before you went to the club that night, because the music, I love talking to DJ Sirius about this, because he always speaks about frequencies and vibrations, but the music, you have to move, like, it literally just, it makes you into a puppet. It's like, okay, you need to get up and dance. You need to get up and move. I don't recall ever going to a party that had house in it, and people were just, you know, as we like to say, stand up, pulling up the wall.
No. That's what I love. Mm-hmm. There is no pulling up on a wall and just watching people and judging. It's like, we're here. Just be.
Have a good time.
Right. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how tired you are. That music, if you have a really great DJ who really understands how to move a crowd, the energy will be there. And you can go on for 3-4 hours, not realize, oh, shoot, it's been 3-4 hours, but I thought I was tired.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I love about house music. And then even house dance, it's, you know, same thing. It's a combination of different styles all put together. So you do have tap, you have African, you have hip hop. And you don't have to necessarily do a heel toe and a stomp and a skate and a whatever. You don't have to, but I love that dance form. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Still dance.
You know what I find ironic? Well, not ironic, but I find interesting is that dance just gets recycled so often. Oh, yeah. Like, you talk about the heel and toe, right?
Yeah.
I know heel and toe from Jamaica, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is a typical Jamaican move, and I see it recycled and redone even now with the TikTok generation, and you know, they're coming and they're doing different style of heel, and I'm just like, y'all know this we had this from a long time. We had this from when I was a kid, and it was probably there even before me, my time. And I just find it so fascinating how dance just kind of, you get a little tweak here and there. You know, maybe you add a little thing to the way that you move your upper body, but the basics of the step, you know,
all there,
always the same.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Gonna flip back a bit. You said that you were, when you were stepping, you tried to kind of continue to propagate the step by by working with 8Count. Could you speak a little bit to that?
Yes. So I started working with 8Count in the 2000s. I feel like I'm getting so old. Like, how years are I'm like, what year was that?
I don't remember.
So yes, Steve Bolton opened up a dance school called 8Count in the early 2000s, and he knew Chris from Vanier. So Chris wasn't able to teach the class, so I did it. And I'm so grateful for that, too, because I was able to, you know, branch out, step into the West Island to a bunch of kids who never saw it and just thought, this is cool.
Yeah.
And really kind of, it was great to watch these kids who are now grown-ass, to see them, you know, see them transform and to just see them grow into becoming adults. It was an amazing experience. And then from there, I got to, you know, get into locking and popping, which I'm not great at popping. And, you know, B-boy, B-girl, breakdancing, it was such a great dance school.
So it allowed you the opportunity to teach, but also to be taught.
To learn. Yes. Yeah. And that's one thing I think I'm grateful for Steve about, who's just like, yeah, go, take a class, go ahead, you're here. Especially, you know, I was living far from the West Island. So it's great to not just come there for 1 hour and come back home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was definitely a great experience and super grateful for Steve for that.
Mm. And fast forwarding back again, skipping back forward through time. So you actually joined up with Leah McFly.
Yes.
And you became
Chocolate Jungle dancer.
But not only dancer, you were also singing.
Yes.
Because Chocolate Jungle, for the folks who haven't heard the shows when we had Chocolate Jungle on, it's a very specific concert party vibe.
Experience
where they take you back in time.
Yes.
And they take you back to the time where I think most people who grew up from the 80s and 90s feel like the 90s is like one of the best eras of music.
Yes.
And we'll probably butt heads with the new ones forever until Thy Kingdom Come. But the 90s,
yes,
music in the 90s was just diff. It was
the frequency, it was up. The music was very positive.
Yeah.
The beats were very positive. The chords were positive.
Yeah. Yeah. And can you speak a little bit about how you came to join the group for Chocolate Jungle, first of all?
Yes. So by, you know, being a house dancer and taking Daz's house classes at the Compton Edge Community Center, you get thrusted into another community. So you get thrust in a community of house dancers, whackers, lockers as well. So from there, you know, and I knew Leah from before because she was friends with my sister. So I used to see her at different talent shows and stuff. But I really kind of, you know, connected with her more by being at the Compton Arts Center. And she told me about the idea about Chocolate Jungle, and she was thinking of doing a performance. And I was just like, I would love to do it. So we did, our first performance was Don't Walk Away by Jade for the first ever Chocolate Jungle. And I have to actually credit her for the reason why I have this musical career right now.
Okay.
Yes, because she had DJ Majest as the DJ for the night. And that's how I connected with him and actually recorded my first song. So thanks to Leah. If she didn't have Chocolate Jungle, I wouldn't have Chan and the Passengers.
Wow.
Yeah.
All those links. And if you hadn't had Boots, you
right,
probably wouldn't have gotten into dance.
Right.
And you probably wouldn't. So it's like it all ties back together, the thread.
All ties back together,
mm-hmm,
through all these lovely experiences and through these great people that I was able to encounter in my life.
And what was the preparation like for a show? Because a lot of people come and they enjoy the experience, but they don't know, they don't know the weeks, the months of work that go into it. So what was the preparation like for that, for those shows?
A lot of rehearsals, especially since it's the first one. It was, you know, the first ever. So a lot of rehearsals, I don't know how Leah put all this together, because not only did she come up with a lot of the choreography for that actual performance, but gathering the clothes for everyone, making sure it all fit together, and, you know, getting the location, making sure people arrive on time, having that wonderful food there as well.
Yep.
You know, those levels, I dream about them at night sometimes. It was a lot.
Perfect for someone who has the munchies.
Right? And then for myself, because it was the first time, not the first time, it was the second time in a long time that I actually had to sing and dance, which is not easy.
No.
At all, because you have to make sure that you're breathing in the proper spots. I got to still make sure I'm hitting those notes and remembering those dance moves. We added a chair part into it. So for myself, it was just a lot of rehearsal, just and trying to make sure that I have it all together. And I was nervous as all heck, but it came out great.
Right. And so how did, what was the, how did the interaction go between yourself and DJ Majest? Because you said it was him that saw you and I'm guessing he approached you in order to talk about making music.
Yeah. So he, so when Leah did the second Chocolate Jungle, and we did TLC Creep.
Right.
So much fun. That's when he really noticed me. And, then it was a couple of months later, he approached me, wanting to know if I wanted to, you know, do some music. So I met up with him at the bar at Suite 701, and we just chatted about music. We didn't even, you know, talk about actually creating music, but we just spoke about music. And he's so knowledgeable. So knowledgeable when it comes to, and not just the genre of R&B, but all genres.
Yeah. Because one thing that I noticed about, because you had sent me a couple of your songs earlier this year. And one thing I noticed is that the music took me back.
Right.
But didn't give me nostalgia, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was like, this is how music used to be, but it's today. It's 2022. Right. You know, like, there is this wormhole between 1970s, 80s, 90s music that we love, and today that is fascinating. And you have a very, very unique and beautiful voice.
Like, thank you.
When I hear you speak, it's one thing, but then when you sing, it's like, wait a minute, hold on a second, hold the phone, who's that? You know, because your singing voice is very different from your speaking voice.
Yeah.
And it's just extremely captivating, which is why I've always loved your music. But we do have to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to Chanda T. Holmes of Chanda and the Passengers. We got to play some music and pay some bills. Keep it locked. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT.
90.3 FM.
Patties is on a fast break with Veggie Patty leading the charge. The pass is down deep to Goat Patty. Goat Patty passes baseline to Beef Patty. Beef Patty shoots from downtown at the buzzer. And bingo! It's in! It's in! Carob Patties wins the game and is now the world champions! The number one in Montreal. Come on down to 9550 Jean Milot in LaSalle for the best patties, roadies, jerk chicken, and more. Or call us at 438-387-4004. Carob Patties, the champions of Montreal.
Don't really mean much.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Chanda T. Holmes. She is a versatile singer, songwriter, who has a comprehensive background in performance, and is currently the lead singer of Chanda and the Passengers. Chanda, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Anytime. So long as we have the space, anytime. So before the break, you said that DJ Majess approached you, and you guys started making music together.
Yes.
What was that process like? Like, give us a little bit of the behind the scenes of, like, what does it look like? What does a studio session look like for you?
With DJ Majess, a studio session is, he has this beat. Listen to it. Write to it. You're not writing fast enough. I'll try something out. Like, no, that's not it. No, fix that. You're too wordy. It was great. And then he would crack a joke. Tell us a story. 3 hours later, you have something? I'm like, you've been cracking jokes this whole time. And then we would create. And we're like, I think we're onto something. And that's how, you know, we came up with the Catch My Groove. I wanted to, you know, write something for my mom.
Right.
My mom was such a big inspiration in my life. And she loved music, loved to dance. So I wanted to write something for her. And he played this beat for me. And it just made me think of, I immediately was transported back to when my mom would be getting ready to go to a club and watching her, that whole process of her, you know, going out to get that dress, coming back home, setting up her drink, setting up the music to prep, to get ready with the makeup and stuff. And I would just be watching her jamming. And thinking, like, I can't wait for that to be me.
Right.
I can go to the clubs. I even tried to escape with her once. She had, like, this big, she had a long coat that had a cape.
Okay.
And I lifted up the cape. And I was right behind her. I actually got outside the door, and then I giggled. She's like, what? I was like, darn it. I guess I'm not going to the clubs tonight.
Oh, Lord.
I was like 10 years old, so no, I would not.
No, you definitely were not going to the club.
Definitely not.
No.
But I just remember the joy, you know, that my mom would have, you know, coming home and be like, the song that they played, it's called Just Got Paid. I can't wait for you to hear it. And then, you know, I wanted to write something that emit that same joy.
Mm. That's interesting that, I often hear people, especially people who are single parents, and they talk about, you know, now their life is quote unquote over because they have a child and they can't do anything and stuff like that. And I'm just like, it was one of two things. Either my parents found a place and a person to leave me with, or they figuratively strapped me to their back and took me with them. Like, I never understand this idea of, like, you can't do anything now that you have a child.
I agree.
Things are changed. Things are different. You will have to spend a little bit more money, but you could still go to the club. You could still, you know, have relationships and you could still do all of this. You could still work. I remember spending copious amounts of times at my dad's workplace, because that was just how it was. And I'm always fascinated when I hear all of these people who are like, oh my God, I can't do this, I can't do that. But then I'm refreshed by hearing folks say, well, my mama was going to the club when I was 10 years old, and that's what it was. And she came back, and that's what it was.
I still had something to eat. I still had clothes on my back. I still had a mother present. She was still present.
Yeah. That's one of the things, too, that I can't appreciate. Like, people who look at, especially, and I don't understand why women, like, I understand it from a logical perspective, but I don't understand it from a logical perspective because we're human beings at the end of the day. Like, just because we have kids in our lives doesn't mean that we stop wanting to to, you know, go out on our own, have a night out alone, you know, go to the movies alone. Like, if nothing more, you need it even more because you have a little person attached to you 90% of the time. It's like you need to detach a little bit.
I think it was, you know, it was for both of our survival.
Yes.
That that she went out from time to time. It's not like she went out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every weekend either. You know, there was balance there, but it was good for her. It was, you know, as a kid, I was sad because I couldn't come and I wanted to.
Yeah.
But she needed that. She needed that balance. She needed that time away so that, you know, she didn't kill me. Because, you know, I was... I was sometimes not the biggest kid.
I hear that.
I was challenging from time to time.
Fair enough.
So she needed that balance. And I think, you know, if you can have that, do it. As a parent, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And kids need it too.
Mm-hmm. They need a little bit of space as well.
They do.
One thing that I've been learning is that children are far more in tune with themselves than adults. Because... Yes. And what I've realized is that the adults brutalize the children's instincts.
Yes.
You know, from a young age, like, they're telling you who to trust and who not to trust. And sometimes who they're telling you to trust, you can't trust.
Right.
And who you feel you could trust, they're telling you not to trust. So, like, it's your instincts are being brutalized. You're not allowed to use your own intuition, your own vibrational, like, because you feel it when somebody not good, man, you feel something. You're just like, even now to this day, I'll see people, I'll be like, I'm not feeling that person. And then I go and I'm like, okay, put that aside.
Yeah.
And then what happened? My initial feeling was justified.
Exactly. You have a good gut. We all have good guts and we got to trust in it. For myself, with my mom, it was more so... she really taught me to be independent and to trust my gut.
Mm.
But when you really teach your child to be independent, then they also start thinking they can make decisions themselves. And you might not like some of those choices and decisions.
Right.
So that kind of clashed. It's like, you taught me to be independent and make my own choices. I'm making my choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Because our parents always kind of want something for us, and usually they want something better, and when they feel like you're not doing or going in the better direction, they're like, what is this picnia? Like, what is going on?
But I was the child that had to, I needed to experience it to really know if I really wanted this or not. Like, you can't just tell me, no, you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, but why?
I'm still that way. Big horse staring 40 some odd year old man. If someone says no, I'm like, why?
Why?
I want to know.
I'm going to see for myself.
Yeah, let me find out. Yeah. Know, because it feels good to me. I like
the,
I like how it's feeling right now.
Right.
So you made this song. Catch My Groove was the one for your mom?
Pardon me?
Was Catch My Groove the one for your mom?
Yes.
Okay. And then what happened?
So we created that song, which I, you know, was able to perform it, which is great, in different venues. We did a second song called Reminded of You, which is about unrequited love, which was also, it had like a, that 90s kind of soul-to-soul feel to it, which I also loved. And then from there, we took a break, as we were called the Project Groove. Majess and I, we took a break. He's forever my brother. And then I wanted to keep singing, but I just didn't know how or where to go about it or what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I randomly looked on Craigslist in the music section.
Right.
And there was this guy wanting to jam. So I was like, and I listened to some of the songs. I'm like, this sounds kind of cool. So I wrote to him and he's like, hey, yeah, I'm having a jam session at my apartment, such and such a date. I let my friend know, hey, if you don't hear from me by this time, please come to this address.
Lord.
It's a random dude's apartment.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
when I got to meet, you know, at the time it was three other people, and I was like, hey, these guys are kind of cool.
Right.
And we kept jamming, and we started a band.
Amazing. So how does, because oftentimes, well, not oftentimes, sometimes it starts with the words, sometimes it starts with the music. How do you work best?
It depends. You know, before Majest, BM, I would, you know, have these lyrics in my head and then try to find something to go with it. After that, with Majest, it was like, here's a beat, write to it. So I started doing that. With Chanda and the Passengers, I think that's where I kind of meld everything together. So sometimes it's, you know, Carlos, the keyboardist, will present, you know, music that he created, and I might write some words to it. Or I might have an idea, and then they'll create music around that.
Right. And what does that process look like? Because I can imagine it's a building process, especially when you have the lyrics first.
Right.
How does that process look?
So that process, I'll hum it. I'm like, it kind of sounds like this. And they're like this? I'm like, no, not like that. A little bit, And then we work it out that way. Which is fun. It's a fun process because now they also have to try to understand and speak Changa language.
That is interesting because you do, us as the consumers of music, as the consumers of the final product, we don't get to like see how this is made. Like unless you watch them old school shows like Making a Band. And even then, like they don't always give you all the nitty-gritty details. It's really reality, drama and with a little music sprinkled inside. Because I remember Michael Jackson's last performance that they made into like a documentary performance. There was a session where he was telling the drummer, you know, and like almost beatboxing it out for the drummer to do it for him. And he's done the same thing with the guitarist where he's like, this is how it needs to sound. And then, or whatever. I'm doing really bad interpretation, but you know what I'm saying. So this is sort of what you have to end up doing for them.
Yes, it is. So when it is something that I'm presenting without any actual music behind it, yes, it is a lot of me playing a lot of different instruments. Mouth guitar, mouth trumpet, mouth sax. It's a lot of that. But I'm also lucky that, you know, most of the people in my band, they write music.
Right.
So they also present their ideas as well. And we kind of will work with it and build from there. It's also funny because Carlos, who the keyboardist, oftentimes he feels is the chorus, we're like, nah, that's the verse.
Okay.
And the verse is the chorus. And he's like, but guys, no. I'm like, no, that's the chorus right there.
Gotcha. And tell us about some of your folks. We have, the band is composed of you, of course. You bring in the vocals.
We have Carlos, who is our keyboardist right now. He's amazing. Writes a lot of the songs. So You're Left Tonight, the music was written by him. We have Pierre, our saxophone player, who also writes music. So he is the one that wrote the music and the lyrics for Medicinal Mama. And right now, our drummer is Adrian, who is amazing. He's from Mexico, and Carlos is from Venezuela. Pierre is from Canada with roots in France. We have our saxophonist, our trumpeter, Jordan Rich the Third. Also happens to be my husband as well. He writes music too, which is great. And then you have myself, Chanda T. Holmes, does vocals, who writes lyrics as well, writes music. The person who brought us together, Xander, Right now, he had a baby, which is great. And he's also in the process of, he's completed a book about his father, who was an amazing photographer in New York. So he's kind of stepped back from the band, but he, once you're a passenger, you're always a passenger.
All right. All right. And what are the goals for the group? What do you want this group to do?
I want this group to, I guess, do the same thing that music has done for me. It's just to bring out emotion and feeling, and to affect. I just want to positively affect people and get you from point wherever to point wherever, whether it's A to B, A1 to A2, and I'd like our music to do that. Our EP will be coming out soon, which is great. We already released our song Love. I just want to affect people positively and just that get that emotion out. Find in this day and age, we're so detached.
Yeah.
From our true emotions.
Yeah.
And just being enraged, yes, that is an emotion, but is that truly you and truly what you want to do and truly who you are as a person?
Or is it the only thing you're experiencing, which it can't be?
It can't be. And I think most of the times when, you know, we get enraged, it's not real. It's not how you really feel. It's just like this, it's become this automatic reaction to things. And I just want to kind of put a little blip in that matrix and have you feel something else than enraged.
That is so interesting because I do a lot of introspection and yeah. I think a lot about emotions and I read about stuff and I try and inform myself. And a lot of the times there's the surface uh-huh. feeling and the below the surface is the real feeling.
Yes.
And behind rage usually comes fear.
Yes.
Hurt.
Right.
Disappointment. Sometimes you're enraged, but you're really disappointed. And it's that's like, right. they're not polar opposites. They're on the same side, but they're like, there's level 163, which is enraged. Yes. And then there's like level 20, which is disappointment.
What's that?
You know, maybe even a little bit less than 20.
Right.
But that's interesting that you want to, like, what we were talking about earlier, provide of that balance, you know, like with your mom, you had balance between spending time with her and her right. going out and being, you know, doing her thing, that you want to bring balance to music.
Yes.
And to people's emotions, whereby they don't have to always go to being enraged and that extreme emotion.
No. You don't have to always be enraged. Everything doesn't have to have that trap-like sound. Mm-hmm. Music is so vast, and there's room for all of it. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I love that stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love listening to Rahsaan Roland Kirk, who's an amazing jazz artist. I also love listening to Chaka Khan, or maybe I want to listen to The Police, or Robert Palmer. Like, there's... It's so vast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to, you know, kind of remind people that, hey, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of different emotions out there.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Are you a romantic?
Yes.
Because that is one thing that I've noticed. Like, you love music.
Yes.
Right.
I do. Love.
And where does that come from?
That comes from, you know, definitely my mom, because my mom played a lot of music when I was a kid, but I taught myself how to use my mother's record player.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't happy about that. But at 5 years old, I taught myself how to use the record player by watching her, and I was always so fascinated by the vinyls, and I would just spend hours just looking at it, reading it. And then once we had, you know, cassettes, I'm the type of person that read the jacket of cassettes or of CDs and one who did what, and just to find out more information. Like, as a kid, you couldn't tell me that Stevie Wonder wasn't my uncle.
Mm.
If I'm feeling a certain way, I'll put a certain song on to help me get through whatever it is that I'm, you know, feeling at that time.
Yeah.
Or if I'm, you know, even in a great mood, I'm like, I need something to keep that up. Do I Do by Stevie Wonder. That's my jam.
All right.
And always been a part.
And how did the love music, how did that become an influence for you in terms of romanticism and stuff like that?
Oh, well, when you hear Rocket Love by Stevie Wonder, and he's, you know, that pain that he's experiencing of that person that he just, you know, I just want to be with you. I just want the best for you. And here you just throw this away, and you feel that. You're like, oh, how dare that person do that to mm-hmm. him? All those emotions that are made from music, that it just really touched me. And I think love is beautiful. Mm. Is love not beautiful? Like with that feeling when you meet someone and you connect, and they have things that, you know, you're in common with, or they challenge you on things, and it opens up your mind to different perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the soul. Is that not beautiful? That feeling of butterflies in your stomach. And you're like, oh, I like this person. Do they like me? I don't know.
I remember one time somebody said, if you have butterflies in your stomach, what is that again? They said something to the effect of, like, there's something wrong. It's like, it was interesting. It was interesting. Here, why.
Mm.
It's interesting because they said if you truly connect with someone,
yes,
you won't feel butterflies. You'll feel calm. Which I thought was really interesting because we come to associate butterflies and nervousness and all of that as, like, excitement and love. But
right.
I'm kind of like on the side of like feeling calmness.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, if I feel calm, I think I like that better. I'm like, I've been feeling the butterflies and stuff now. I'm like, all right, I haven't had success with the butterflies.
Right. You
know? I'm like, yeah, Alicia Keys, go sit down. I don't need no more butterflies. Thank you. I need a song that says, "You make me calm."
Oh,
every time that I'm high in this sky, no, you bring me.
No. Well, I mean, the butterflies for me is the initial, like the initial need. If I still have butterflies, then I'm just anxious. And yes, I do agree there's something wrong, but I think there is something nice about this person. Ooh, like they just, you know, do something to you.
Right.
Something positive.
And I gotta say this though, when I listen to some old music that, like, we think as, oh, these are amazing love songs, and they're talking about how the person took their love and threw it away, and I'm just like, and they're like mad at the person for throwing it away, and I'm just like, but maybe the love is great, but maybe it just wasn't for them, you know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, you're throwing something away that's good. It's like, yeah, it's good, but it ain't good for me.
Yes, but you still have to go through the emotions to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's like, you know, the stages of grief.
Yeah.
You have to go through those stages as well so that you can get to that healing and get to the place of logic and say, yes, you know what, this person wasn't for me. You got to go through that process to get there.
You have to, the seven steps of grief.
Yeah,
you
have to be like, that person is crap. How dare they? Do they not
denial
realize what they have?
Yeah.
Do they not understand? Or I've done all this for them. And how dare they not accept and take that love? And yes, then you'll get to the point of, they weren't really. You know, when I think about it, they did some things that just really wasn't in line with who I am as a person. Yeah, no, I dodged the bullet.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Chanda T. Holmes, who is a singer, songwriter, part of the band, the Chanda and the Passengers. We're going to take a quick break, play some music, pay some bills, keep it locked. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Does it matter what your friends are telling you? Doesn't matter. Brooklyn is in the building. Hell, we own the building. Yeah, y'all just paying rent, see what I'm saying? Listen, now honey, check it out, you got me mesmerized. With your black hair and your fat ass thighs. It's the way you hold it down to make my nature rise. You got me in the boutiques picking out your size. You make me push it and I can't get it out my mind. It's that body, I can't get it out my mind. Give it up, mind, know that you're down to ride. Hit the dance floor and bounce your hide. You got the bounce of mine and let me know when you're down to slide. I'll tell Ab to swing around the ride. I'll show you how I will grind. I make it splash like a thousand times. I'm like the stars falling out the sky. Big moose, flaco, make your waist get close. Make it green get smoke, make your cat get stroke. Me and Faye make the track get dope. We stay set and pace in the race. Now let's go.
Girl, sugar, won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me? Make it hot like it's supposed to be. Brown sugar, baby, give it to me. Brown sugar, won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me? Make it hot like it's supposed to be. Brown sugar, baby, give it to me.
Like one, two, three into the four. Brooklyn is running the show. Let them know from my scramblers, my gamblers, my dirty money handlers, my jugglers, my hustlers, professional or amateur. Woo. Come on. I said what? I got to get it all. You got to get involved. You ain't got it to give. You got to get along. Come on. I said what? Yeah, and if you holding it, I make you let go of it. And I'ma get it till my getting days is over with. And why not, love?
Born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon. I serve, yeah, that's him again. The sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See, my pedigree most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you. This is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extra work. And absentness, what the fuck you heard? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna be this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty.
Yes, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Chanda T. Holmes of Chanda and the Passengers. Their group got founded on Craigslist, of all the places to form a band. Got founded on Craigslist, and they released two singles. Their debut, Medicinal Love, the single group was called Medicinal Love, which contained the two songs, Medicinal Mama and Your Love Tonight. And they're about to release their debut album this year. So, Chanda T. Holmes, tell us a little bit about your new EP that's coming up.
Yes, so it is really representative or reflective of who Chanda and the Passengers, who we are as a band. We are all from different countries, different influences. We all love funk, we all love music, so it is definitely a combination of that. So you have a little bit of jazz, you have some R&B with love, you have some blues on there, and it's a nice combination of all of that, like a nice jambalaya.
We don't really have a HMV anymore to go in. Because I was going to say, like, where... So if your music is, like, that variety of eclectic, like, where... Do you have a category that you can place the album into?
I think there's, I don't like the whole putting it in categories thing. I guess you don't really have much of a choice in this day and age. So luckily, because we have songs that kind of span, you know, different genres, we can be part of different lists.
Yeah.
I wish there was just a list called some good ass music.
GAM. Good ass music.
Right? Or, you know, music for your soul. I wish it was that. But and I think that's the thing that I loved about, you know, music from back in the day. You didn't have to necessarily pigeonhole yourself in a category. When I think of the Brand New Heavies, yes, they were labeled acid jazz, but they also did funk, they did soul, they did blues, they did it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just good music.
And when can we expect the album to come out?
The album will come out in the fall. So we're looking at around a November launch date, but that'll be coming soon.
Right. So you're going to let us know all of the details. Definitely. So we can put that up and yes, do the good things. If you had someone come up to you and say, hey, I wanna get into what you're doing, what advice would you give that person? A young person, a teenager, comes up to you, they saw you on YouTube or wherever, and they're like, hey, I'd really like to do what you're doing. What advice would you impart on them?
Advice number one, I think, is get to know who you are as a person. Know yourself. Figure out who you are. Figure out what you love. And make sure your music reflects that. I would definitely recommend that they study the greats that they love. Not necessarily copy, but it's a great starting point. Connect with a bunch of people. If you love music, if you want to get out there, as you know, my husband always says, closed mouths don't get fed. So you have to open your mouth and say, hey, I sing, I do this, this is what I want to do, and let people know so that they can hopefully connect you with different people. And then the biggest piece, and that's what I still do today, close your mouth and listen. Like, just listen to others, listen to the advice that people are giving you, listen to those who have done it before you, watch what their paths were, look at what their paths were, pay attention to that, and pay attention to the advice that they're giving you.
Listen twice as much as you speak.
Yes.
Yeah, as our parents would say, you have two ears,
right,
to hear.
Mm-hmm. Use them. I think, you know, sometimes because you want to get out there and you want to be heard, you want to be seen, you want people to know who you are. So, you know, you just go out and this is me. And you just, you know, shouting to the mountaintops. But sometimes you need to take a step back and listen. And I do that all the time. So I sing at this restaurant called The 40 West with this lovely band.
Mm-hmm.
And Waleed, our fearless leader, who's a drummer, he imparts so much advice, and I love it. I just take it in and listen, because he's done it. He's been there before. You know, he's around playing in the 80s and the 90s in Montreal, and how amazing that scene was.
Mm-hmm.
But he's learned so much. And he's taking that opportunity, that time, in a sense, to mentor me, and I am truly grateful for this. You gotta, anytime that someone's giving me some advice, just take it in. You don't have to follow through with all of their advice, but just take it in, because you never know how it might help you.
Yeah, for sure. Where can people find you? How can they listen to the music that you have out already until the album drops? Let us know.
Everywhere music is streamed, you will find Chanda with the C and the Passengers. You can also find me on social media, so Chanda T Holmes. T is for terrific. T is for Tamara, but whatever. But you can find me on all social media platforms under Chanda T. Holmes.
H-O-L-M-E-S for correct, the folks. Chanda, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us this evening and chat
with
us.
Thank you, Kim, for all that you have done and continue to do for us artists, and making sure that we have that platform and that space to promote, to express, and to connect. I'm so appreciative of that. Really am. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Like I always think it's better to give. Well, no, I like to receive as well. But it's always good to give because I think it shows your character. I think it shows who you are when you are a giving person, as opposed to you just take and taking from everybody. So it is my pleasure to continue to provide this platform because, you know, Soul P has been around since before.
Yeah.
Before I ever even set foot in Montreal. So, well, full time in Montreal.
Right.
So, yeah, 1994, Soul Perspectives was founded. 2 more years and we'll reach 30, or is it? Yeah, 30. So, yeah, been around for a while, and I'm just happy to continue being able to provide this for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Anytime, you let us know, and we'll bring you back on. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Chanda T. Holmes, an interview with Chanda T. Holmes from Chanda and the Passengers. Their new album is going to be dropping end of this year, in the fall, end of this year. So be sure to follow Chanda T. Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, and keep up to date for the new information. And that brings us to the end of the show. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. Please tune in every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. right here on CKUT.
90.3 FM.
That's right.
Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have 2 phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call.
Hey, all you hip-hop heads. NDG's favorite urban music festival is back. Prévention Côte des Neiges NDG and Elementality are proud to present the 18th edition of Hip Hop You Don't Stop, ending the summer on a high note with a weekend full of performances, art showcases, dance battles, and community gathering. Featured artists include Mackie Lavender, Miriam Sassy, Remy Picasso, Shades Lawrence, DJ Pro-V, and more. It's all going down Friday, September 16th to Sunday, September 18th, and it's all free. Visit linktree.com/HHYDS Montreal for more information and stay connected, because hip-hop doesn't stop here. Hip-Hop You Don't Stop is brought to you with the support of Canadian Heritage and La Ville de Montréal, a CKUT co-presentation.
Listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90.3 FM CKUT. Listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro.
A trecut încă un an, am luat la rând orice club să mă fac bine, jur că n-aveam un plan.